Hey everybody, thanks for listening to Brandon Knows Nothing, a podcast where I, Brandon Collins, literally know nothing. And so I bring on guests to learn about their careers and interests and all that stuff. And I just work to become a better person. I know past episodes I said I was going to stop drinking, and I'd be lying if I said I succeeded at that. Last night I was at a show at the Knitting Factory, and had a few too many Red Stripe beers, so that's why I sound very groggy as I'm recording this. But this is going to be a fun episode. I have the Yelp New York director on. I'm really excited. It took a while to get a Ruggy Joltson on here, but we finally made it happen. Ruggy's been a big supporter of my show Comedy Outliers. He had us perform on their Yelp Hangover event, which is like on a yacht for 2 years. It's Holiday Hangover, I'm sorry. And that was a lot of fun. So we talked about that. We talked about just Yelp in general and how businesses can utilize it better, what to do if, they do get negative feedback from customers. To be honest, I only post negative Yelp reviews. I'm kind of like a dick like that. And most of the time, they're not even just negative. They're like, if I feel like I've been blatantly discriminated against, I'll shout out a venue or a restaurant where I'm like, yeah, my experience is bad because this happened. And, you know, I don't like to make it seem like it's because of who I am and what I look like. But when I compare my experience to people around me who came later and would get their food before me or get served before me or just had better experience from the server, the bartender and stuff. Yeah, that's a red flag for me. So I use that a lot when I do Yelp reviews. I post events on Yelp and stuff, which helps us get the word out and stuff. Yelp's been very supportive of a lot of the shows I've done and everything. But there's other uses for Yelp as well. Reggie and I talk a little bit about that. It's fun, man. It's fun. It's interesting because it's, again, it's like one of those things where a lot of people wonder, you know, are like things like Yelp and Twitter and all these other outlets that are now on social media where you can kind of hide behind a page, are they beneficial in the long run? Because, you know, people can just kind of hide behind a computer and write whatever they want, even if it's not completely accurate. And I know what Alex Carbaño, when we talked about his restaurant, he said, you know, sometimes people will, you can ask them in person, like, hey, how was everything? Is there anything that could make your experience better? They'll say no. And then they'll go on Yelp and write a negative review or bash you on social media. And it's a bit frustrating. I mean, sometimes you do need to voice your opinion. Like, I recently took a really bad Uber ride. And I just had to, like, go on social media and I had to go on the app and, like, give a negative review and just say, yeah, this dude just took me around in circles because it was surge time and he was just trying to take advantage of me and thought I didn't know New York. And that's not the case. So, apparently, Uber takes that pretty seriously because they already got back to me and are working on getting me a refund. So that's pretty cool. But, then, you know, there's some people, like, like on social media, people just complain about venues or stuff happening. And it's like, sometimes it's not for you. So maybe that's my fault. Maybe I'll go into restaurants in my neighborhood that just aren't for me. Like there's a new fried chicken spot that I've tried twice now because the first time it was just like, man, for $15 for two wings and a biscuit, I don't know if this is that great. I went back again to try the food. I tried the barbecue a little bit better, but still, it's one of those things where like I had a negative experience with the service. The prices just don't match the neighborhood yet, I think. Unfortunately, Astoria, where I live in Queens, is getting more and more expensive by the day. It's literally like I feel like it's literally going up pennies a day at every single grocery store or cafe. It's just... it's getting pricey, and more and more people are moving in because Brooklyn's packed out, and there's new developments in Astoria, and it's just making me nervous. I just got to hold on to my apartment for as long as I can, apparently, before the hipsters take me over and kick me out of my my place that I've been for years. But I'm digressing. You guys are going to really enjoy this episode. It's very interesting. I ask a lot of weird questions that I've always wondered about Yelp and how it works. And like I said, it's a lot of fun, very informative. But before we get to the episode, let me just give you guys a few dates real quick. I got dates coming up. Tuesday, May 31st, I have my Tuesday weekly show, Grits Tuesday Dinners, at the V-Spot, which is on 12 St. Mark's Place. It's in the East Village. It's free, 7 p.m. It's been a lot of fun. We've had two shows thus far, and they've been really good. And we rotate hosts. It's a lot of fun. You guys get to see me work out some new material, iron out my set. So come around if you're in the city next week. Also, next Wednesday, June 1st, I have two shows back-to-back. I have Knocking Boots on 284 Fifth Avenue. Which is at it's at a pizzeria. I'm trying to remember the name, but Christian Polanco, he runs the show. It's a lot of fun. So that's gonna be at 8 p.m. and then at 9 p.m. on the Lower East Side, at Gandhi, is that you, 129 Orchard Street. It's a free show by Brenda Fitzgibbons and Lance Weiss. It's a lot of fun as well. So I'm really excited for next week. I got a few gigs. And then on June 7th, I'm going to be at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey at 8 p.m. That's a Tuesday, I know. But Gordon Bakerbone, he has a dope show that's a blast to perform at. So I'll be in New Brunswick, New Jersey if you're around on June 7th. And then I also have my birthday show for Comedy Outliers coming up on Saturday, June 25th. Tickets are on sale now at comedyoutliers.com. We're having it at Union Hall because we just want to make sure we pack it out. And I want to have a dope lineup and maybe some music and stuff like that. So I just want to have a blast. So definitely make sure you get your tickets for that. It's $8 advance, $12 at the door. But if you use the discount code DIRTY30, it's only $6. So DIRTY30 is the discount code for Comedy Outliers. Hope to see you guys at some of these shows. Just say, hey, I heard your podcast. I love what you're doing, man. And continue sending me positive feedback. Use the hashtag BrandonKnowsNothing to send me feedback on the podcast. A few of you guys have been tweeting my guests that I've had on recently, and that's been a lot. Really appreciate it because they get the feedback on the show. They know that people are listening, which is always great. And then leave a 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to this on, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. All that helps in the ratings and the metrics and stuff like that. And, leave some feedback. I'll read the reviews on future episodes and stuff, and we'll get some dialogue going. But in the meantime, I'm going to let you guys listen to my interview with Ruggy Jolson from Yelp NYC. Hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I will talk to you all next week. Peace. She don't care about my car, and she don't care about my money. That's real good, cause I don't got a lot to spend. But if I did, it wouldn't mean nothing. She likes me for me. All right, guys, thank you for listening to Brandon Knows Nothing, a podcast where I ask all the questions, smart and dumb, to my guests, just because I want to know as much as I possibly can. And on this week's episode, we have Ruggy representing Yelp NYC.
Yo, I think you know plenty of things. I don't know. I've known you for a few years. You know
some things. Man, I'm still like, because we've for the Comedy Outliers, we did like your Yelp cruise for two years in a row.
Yep.
And you talked about the elite group, and I had no idea what that is. Like, I still don't really understand what that is.
The Illuminati of Yelp. It's like a mysterious.
But there's a lot of them, though. It was
yeah. No, I mean, well, the Yelp Elite Squad are just people who are really passionate about sharing, you know, local interests around particular cities, obviously here in New York, but we have elite squads all over the world. I mean, so what's kind of cool about, well, you know, once you become an elite member, say you're vacationing in Rome or something, right?
Yeah.
You can actually check the calendar and be like, oh, there's a Yelp event for elites going on in Rome. So it's like kind of like a worldwide club of sorts, very like hyper local though in New York.
Okay. How would I be able to become an elite? Do I have to send a certain number of reviews or
you
do I
send
like
me a check for $350 and then I cash it and then I'll see what I can do. No, so the thing with like, you know, a lot of people equate it to, you remember like when Foursquare was big and they doing, you know, we have our own check-in sort of mechanism on Yelp as well. But, you know, when you would check into a place, you know, X amount of times, you become like the mayor of that place. There's no like gamification to the Yelp Elite Squad. So it's more about like quality than it is quantity. So if like this weekend you decided you were going to write 300 reviews and just expect to be elite, it probably won't be the case.
Got it.
So we have an elite council actually who sit in a dark smoky room in San Francisco headquarters, you know, smoking cigars and drinking scotch and making decisions. So anyway, like, I mean, that's like, you know, sort of a fun visual, but we actually do have a council and headquarters in San Francisco. They identify people who are great contributors to the site. And then we extend really, you know, an invitation to them to join up. And yeah, the rest is kind of, the rest is kind of like fun and going to parties and checking out really cool new spots and interacting with local business owners, and business owners love getting in front of influencers. So, even though I hate the word influencers, I think it's like overdone. You know, these are like our influencers on Yelp. So,
I mean, so, but like some of the elite events are like public, right? But you just can't go to them.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the event that you guys have been to a couple years ago, which you guys were fantastic, by the way. Can't wait to have you guys next time around. Yeah, we invite a lot more people. So we do elite events all throughout the year. So, you know, 12 months out of the year. So once or twice a year, we'll do something where we reach out to the greater Yelp community. So if you're just somebody with a profile, you have a chance to check out like how fun it is to be a part of the Yelp community. So the big holiday hangover in which you're speaking of on the Hornblower Infinity is one of those such events. And it's pretty insane because we sent out a newsletter and within seconds, it's full. And I mean, we have a 1,200 person capacity on that boat. And in no time, I mean, for like 3 years in a row, we actually crashed the website because there were so many people RSVPing.
I remember the first year when we were going to perform, and like I checked, and like it was the website was down.
It was insane. It was
like, oh, let's see how big this gets, and then like we couldn't even look at the event page because it was.
It was because of you, man. It's because of the Comedy Outliers. They knew that it was going to be a pretty hot ticket.
How long have you been with Yelp?
Since I think Abraham Lincoln was in office, to be honest. No, I mean, in like tech years, it's like when you're at a place for more than 2 years, it's like, what the hell are you doing? I've been at Yelp for eight and a half years. So if you talk to anybody who, you know, works in other, like, you know, other tech companies, I feel like there's like this 2 year sort of like you do your 2 years and move on and, you know, collect experience. But I really have enjoyed working at Yelp. So I've been there for 8.5 years.
And it's still a relatively young company, right?
Relatively. I mean, we just celebrated our, I think actually this summer will be our 11th year or 12th year.
Pretty young, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty young.
Influential as you guys are now. Cause you kind of make or break businesses now.
Yeah. You know, I think that, I like to tell people that there's no way that Yelp can actually break a business as far as like they can make a business, but I think that you're putting too much credit to Yelp if you can actually break it. And the reason I say that is because Yelp really is just a mirror into your day-to-day operation. Mm-hmm. So you're actually kind of breaking yourself if you think that Yelp is breaking you in a way. Because like if you use like the if you use the data and use like the feedback that's working on Yelp, what you should do is use that to correct those like sort of shortcomings that are showing up and trending on your Yelp page. And if you choose not to, then it's probably because you have your own sort of holes you didn't fill, and that's what Yelp took you down, because there really, in my opinion, is no way for Yelp to actually do that.
All right. I mean, I gotta say, like, I have some comedian friends that produce shows at comedy clubs, and for one show, there was like a huge line. They were overbooked. They had to turn people away, and they got negative Yelp reviews because of that. And the owner told these producers, like, dude, we cannot afford to have negative Yelp reviews. That like hurts our business, everything. So I'm just like curious about like, you know, when people do get angry, they go and Yelp and vent. Like, you don't think that, like, as a business owner, that could really actually negatively affect if somebody's trying to determine what comedy club or restaurant to go to?
Yeah, well, I mean, so, right, if you're the business owner, okay, let me just frame this in two different ways.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're the consumer and you show up and that happens to you, are you going to think that's pretty awesome? Or are you going to think, that sucks, I didn't get to go in because they overbooked this venue? I mean, if you were out with, like, your girlfriend or something, or you're out with some friends to have a good night, like, that is arguably a pretty poor customer experience, right? Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's no denying that. I mean, and, you know, a lot of consumers aren't going to be like, oh, well, like, you know, I guess they were too full. I mean, it's like they had a bad experience. But what you can do as a business owner is you can take that feedback and be like, okay, how can we improve to make sure that this doesn't happen again?
Okay.
Maybe we overbook by less. Maybe we have two showings. Maybe. So you're using that feedback as a way to improve your business, because it's clear that somebody had a poor experience. And if you're using Yelp the way it's meant to be used, which is having real-time feedback, you can take that and mitigate any sort of future negative reviews, because you're like listening to consumers and like, okay, we should do something to change these, you know, change these reviews. So, but if you continue to just ignore that anything's happening, then I think that You're doing yourself a grave disservice.
Mm-hmm. What do you? This is one of my favorite things that I watch sometimes. Is what do you think about restaurant owners that respond to negative Yelp reviews in a very angry way? It's just like bemusing.
Yeah,
like, do you ever take time to read some of those?
I do. I know plenty of business owners who. It's sort of like their creative outlet is responding to negative reviews in sort of a combative fashion. And I'll say that if you have a nice comedic voice or something, some kind of like nice sarcastic response, perhaps it'll work out. I mean, I've seen businesses that turn their negative reviews into kind of like a funny discourse and people are able to see that there's a sense of humor on the other side.
Yeah.
But I've never seen an experience where, I mean, there are several businesses that just straight up like attack the person and, you know, call them out for being idiots or whatever the case is. And, I just think it's funny because there's like a bunch of people reading, right? That we have, I think we had 150 million unique visitors last month or something. And so that
last month.
Yes. So that, you know, those people are reading that you're kind of a hothead. And so I'm not sure, you know, if it's going to do too well for future, you know, growth of your company based on people looking at Yelp, but there are people who respond in funny ways. I think that the best way is using constructive criticism or constructive like language. Well, not constructive. I'm sorry. Using just like, you know, being a generous sort of, business owner and looking at that and saying sorry and doing your thing. So
got it. Now, did you start in New York with Yelp or did you start over in California?
California.
I know you go back and forth a lot.
Yes. I started in San Diego in late 2007. And then I merged. Then I moved up to San Francisco in 2008 or so. And then I moved here 4 years ago. And I'm a big fan of New York.
Which market is more like a Yelp invested, I guess, like where you see like the most responses and.
They're all pretty active markets because, well, San Francisco is the first market that we were ever in. We're based in San Francisco. We have an office here in New York, but so as far as, you know, people who have been, you know, a part of Yelp from the beginning, San Francisco is where you would probably start.
Yeah.
San Diego was pretty close after. New York was one of our early markets as well. So I'd say there's a lot of, you know, a lot of, devoted sort of users and a lot of people who are using the site in all three markets. So I think LA is actually our biggest market. Currently.
Really?
New York is right around the top two.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that because just they're more proactive on social media probably in regards to...
Probably. And the fact that there's like 100 million people who live in LA. It's a pretty big city. But, you know, San Francisco, for, you know, all the influence that they have, it's a really small town. It's 850,000 people live in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's people like the Bay Area is a lot bigger, but the city of San Francisco is pretty small.
Okay. Now, do you get to just travel around on like behalf of Yelp to like help set up markets and offices, or like how's that work?
I wish. There's a girl named Miriam who actually has that job, and it seems like the most fantastic job in the world. She literally flies around, and you know, she's very skilled at her job, so there's a reason why she's the one who does it. But yeah, I help out a lot of events locally. Mm-hmm. I, you know, occasionally will help out with events that are not in New York. So
good.
I was recently in Seattle helping out with an event. I'm a pretty senior guy at the company, so they let people who are more senior travel around to a couple cities they want to per year.
Now, do you do events on behalf of Yelp, or the companies hire you guys to run events for them? How does that work?
Yeah, so what happens is, you know, say, Brandon, you own a really cool donut shop, and you want to get the word out to people. You'd probably want to reach out to people who are going to be pretty vocal. They love food. They've got money to spend, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. So that's pretty much in a nutshell how you would maybe describe a Yelp Elite member. So for a business owner, it's like this would be a really cool way for us to connect with this community who love sharing information and they love to eat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So when we do events, it's really a way of highlighting the business and kind of introducing the business to the users.
Okay.
So we are doing it on behalf of Yelp, but there's a lot of good that comes out of it. So, you know, the business owner gets a chance to grow their business and get in front of this really influential crowd.
Yeah.
You know, people on Yelp who love going out and eating. I mean, there's people who have hundreds and thousands of reviews. So obviously, they dig eating and they have money to spend on food and drinks and that kind of thing. So, yeah, so the events are pretty organic in the way they work. And they're a great fit for a lot of people.
Okay. Okay. And then, so, like, as a business owner, I could reach out to you guys and be like, hey, I'm willing to donate, you know, my restaurant for, like, 1 or 2 hours, like, give samples to your elite group.
Yeah, pretty much exactly. Yeah, I mean, we usually do events on off nights. So say like Mondays and Tuesdays are typically kind of slow.
Okay.
It's like, hey, you might as well come out here and, you know, everybody needs to market their business a little bit. You know, I always, you know, say that everybody knows Pepsi, but that doesn't stop them from spending $10 million on a Super Bowl commercial, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, to continue to generate new future revenue and, you know, customer base and that kind of thing, doing these events they're pretty cool. They're fun. And it's a way to get, like, hands-on, you know, get to actually meet people and that kind of thing.
Good. Now, what is your day-to-day like? Because your official role is what? Director, or is it like
executive? Sounds very fancy. It's senior community director.
Yeah,
you're in the graces of a pretty big deal right here.
Yeah. So what are you like? Just run me through a 9 to 5, if that's even like your typical hours.
I wish if it were 9 to 5, that'd be pretty cool. My day to day is pretty different almost every day.
Oh,
Yeah. I mean, like, so for instance, this weekend I've got two different events that we're doing. One at a fabulous new barn restaurant in Harlem called Harlem Nights, and we're doing an event on Sunday at this place called John Doe, which is a really fun, like, sort of after work bar in the Flatiron sort of nomad area. So that's like, you know, an example of me working on the weekends. But if I had to talk about like a 9 to 5, like, my daily routine is like before work, I try to get up and work out if I hadn't been out the night before too late, which was the case very many times this last week. So I do my best to go to the gym. I am a SoulCycle aficionado. Okay. Don't make fun of me, but I absolutely love it and I don't care. So yeah, then I usually get to the office around 9, 10. There's a lot of, you know, again, because our job is so multifaceted. There's like a writing aspect and the marketing aspect, and there's education with business owners. So every day is really a bit different.
Now, do people who own local businesses and stuff that you go to frequently, do they know your role?
I don't ever come in like waving like a flag, like, look at me. Sometimes, like,
what South Park did, where they're like, people go into restaurants, like, I'll just let you know, I'm going to Yelp you guys.
If I want to eat a plate of boogers and cum, then I suppose I would maybe do that. Yeah. I definitely don't do that. I mean, the South Park thing was really funny. We all really liked it.
You guys liked it? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's like, you know, in a way, it's so flattering because South Park doesn't, you know, when they choose to dedicate an episode towards anybody, it's kind of an honor, whether or not it's tongue-in-cheek or defamatory or whatever. But we really thought it was funny.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. You're not like Kanye, who was just like, mentioned South Park now on every album.
Well, I mean,
angrily.
What's funny is that there was some, like, a meme that was generated after the show that Yelp was suing South Park for, like, $1 million.
Yeah,
some, like, tiny amount of money that wouldn't even amount to anything if we would have won a lawsuit.
Yep.
But it was, like, completely false. It was just done by somebody, and it was actually done by some comedian who's like proceeds benefit like a masturbating whale or something. So it was funny that all these like actual media publications ran with the story.
Yeah.
And at the bottom of the story, it had something to do with like Slappy the masturbating dolphin or something like that. And I was like, okay, how does an actual like real like legitimate source print something with like that kind of actually at the bottom?
But it's all for headlines and to get into clicks and stuff like that.
But to answer your question, I do not go in. I'm a regular consumer like anybody else. And occasionally, like, I know who the person is that is running the restaurant, and we're friends and that kind of thing.
Okay. But do you ever like put up a Yelp review yourself, like, in support of them? They're like, oh shit, like, he's got thousands of people that follow him on Yelp. They listen to what he says and all that.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, I write a review almost every single day. But it's not like I don't go in and there's no like quid pro quo kind of thing where I eat something and I write a review. It's not really the how it works.
Got it.
Yeah.
What's like your favorite spot right now in the city to go to for food? And then like, we'll do a bar.
Okay. I've been really obsessed. Actually, I went to a place last night that I can't wait to go back to again. And it's been around for a while, and it's just been on my bookmarks list for a million years. It's called Louis and Chan. It's on,
I almost went there for my girlfriend and I's anniversary. But
it's great.
We ended up going to, like, on the restaurant. But it was really cool in the Lower East Side. How was it?
It was great. They have a really fun take on pretty traditional Italian dishes. Mm-hmm. Great Negronis. I'm a big Negroni fan, and they had like 4 or 5 different varietals of Negroni.
Nice.
So that was cool. But I would say one of the places I've been going to a lot recently, I guess two of the places, I've been going to Maiden Lane a bunch because I'm a huge fan of canned fish, and they have a whole like menu of canned fish, which sounds kind of gross to some people, but I love sardines and anchovies, and they make delicious versions of these things, and they also have great drinks and a good vibe. And then another place that's not necessarily like new, but Pig and Cow in the Lower East Side. It's on Clinton and Rivington. And God, I love that place so much.
I went there a while back. Really good. Really good. What about bars?
Bars. Let's see. You know, it's funny because I spent a disproportionate amount of time at an Irish bar in East Village called Finnerty's. And it's mostly because it is the San Francisco bar. And I'm a big San Francisco Giants fan and Golden State Warriors fan. So I'm there a lot. And so that's great for like my sports watching adventures.
Yeah. You're going to be there a lot over the next few weeks.
I know. I mean, that's the hope. I mean,
for good reason though.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I probably spend thousands of dollars a year at that bar because I'm just there, whether it's, you know, for the Warriors in the playoffs, you know, whenever the Giants make, you know, a playoff run, I'm in there just like buying celebratory shots. It's kind of crazy. But let's see, as far as other bars that I like to go to, I'm a big fan of Booker and Dax in the East Village. That place is really fantastic. They make pretty unique cocktails using all sorts of different methods like liquid nitrogen and fun things like that. Yeah, I mean, I go to a lot of different bars. I like Extra Fancy in Williamsburg. That's been a longtime favorite of mine. And I'm trying to think of something like brand new that I've been to that I really like. God, I go to so many places. Sometimes hard to like.
Yeah, I imagine I sort of lose track. Well, you just mentioned two places you're going to this weekend that are new and like are going to be on your radar.
Yeah, of course.
So you live in the city, right?
I do. Yeah.
So how often do you get to go like the outer boroughs to just check out places and like?
I mean, I literally thought Queens was in Connecticut before today.
You gotta come out to the story, man. There's some great food.
I know.
It's insane.
There's actually a place I love. I think it's in Jackson Heights, and it's called Lhasa Fast Food.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but it's. Do you know what a momo is?
Yeah.
Okay, so they serve these momos in the back of a cell phone store, and it's fantastic. Like you walk into this place, and they are selling like you know burner phones, you know the kind of prepaid phones, and then you go all the way to the back, and there's a guy selling, great, basically soup dumplings in the back.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love the little nooks and crannies here. And there's so many, there's a place called Queen's Comfort I've been that makes like ridiculous sort of cereal like donuts and that kind of thing. You know, not very awesome on the waistline with summer approaching. But
yeah, everything's fried there. It's a 10-minute walk from here. And we try not to go there too often just because it's good, but it's so bad.
Yeah. It's good in such a bad way or bad in such a good way, whatever way you want to look at it. But then I was telling you before we crack these mics open, you know, Sal, Chris, and Charlie's is a longtime favorite of mine as well. The bomb sandwich, which started out at like around $7, and you just informed me that it might be up to $11, which is
it's a lot.
A little bit of like, it's breaking my heart.
But it's huge though, man. It's kind of like, you kind of understand why.
Yeah, I mean, you could eat it for the, if you started off in like breakfast time or you got it the day before and ate it all day long, that'd be enough food for the entire day.
Yeah.
Arguably longer than a day.
Yeah, and I love the peppers, man.
Oh, everything they do
They're so good. And it's just like it's so unopposing. You wouldn't like be like, oh man, it's probably this best sandwich place in the story of Queens. Like
absolutely
you just walk
not.
By, you're like, oh, a little convenience store thing, and you have no idea when you walk by it.
And that's the beauty of Queens. There's so much great stuff, and I think that it'll probably be the next. It's you know, there's a blog called The Brownstoner. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but they for the longest time covered real estate trends in Manhattan. Then they moved to Brooklyn, and when they moved to Brooklyn, it was like, ooh, this is like a sign of things to come here, because if they're moving out into Brooklyn, that means there's probably like a hot underbelly of real estate development that's happening. And so I remember when they moved into Queens, Astoria, about a year and a half ago, people were like, oh, this is like where Queens becomes the next hot borough. So,
God damn it. That's exactly what's
happening. You may have to move to Staten Island or something, man.
No, that's, God. It's probably Jersey. That's where everyone's going that's getting like priced out in New York.
Yeah,
going to Jersey City.
Yeah, there's something kind of cool about taking a ferry to work every day or into the borough if you work in Manhattan, if you're living in Staten Island.
I've never been to Staten Island. No, I'm lying. I went there once for a film shoot like years ago to Wagner College. That's the only time, and I passed out on the ride, so I don't even.
That's hilarious. Were you under the influence of something? Or
no,
I was
just tired. It was like a 7 a.m.
It takes
8
hours to get there.
Yeah, it was miserable. But are there good places in Staten Island? How frequently do you go
I mean,
there?
Come on, Wu-Tang is from Staten Island, so, I mean, they're everybody.
Yeah, but they're like projects, yeah.
Yeah,
whatever. They just go there for food.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a place that's pretty cute. It's called Inotika Maria.
Okay.
And every day they have a different grandma come in and cook food. It's pretty cool. There's like the actual menu, then there's a menu that someone's grandma whips together, and you can buy. And you see the grandma in the kitchen just making food, and you can order stuff from her.
Now, I imagine you find out about this shit because of Yelp, right? Like, you just. People at your office and people on the website are just talking about these random hidden gems, and you're just able to learn about all the cool stuff and just be like, oh, I'm gonna check that place out.
Yeah, I mean it's great because you know it's the wisdom of the crowd, right? And so I know that you know there are millions of people contributing to all sorts of like hidden gems in the city, and you know it's kind of funny because you know I love reading you know professional food critics as well. Like I read the Times every day. I love reading the stuff in Eater. There's local blogs I listen to and I find to be, you know, informative and influential and that kind of thing. But I think everybody working together collaboratively is like is a really cool thing. And it's nothing but, you know, the rising tide raises all ships of sorts. And so it's like when you do your research, you can find anything now with, you know, a combination of Yelp or other blogs and, you know, professional outlets.
Good. Now, have you ever like in your director position, have you seen people like utilize Yelp in a negative way where you're like, maybe we should like take them off the side or deactivate their account for a little bit?
Yeah, we definitely see that. We see a lot of times where we actually have a consumer alert program up right now because we find it's very, very, you know, it's kind of tantalizing. It's very like, you know, people want to game the system sometimes. Not all the time. There's a lot of really, really hardworking local businesses out there that are earning their awesome reputations just by going in and doing great things every single day and getting nice, you know, reviews on the back end, which is the way to do it. Occasionally, we'll see people who are offering incentives to write reviews like, hey, we'll like literally pay you $100 if you write a 5-star review of, you know, our business and this and that.
And how do you find out about that? Like, people complain to Yelp about it? Like, hey, just to give you guys a heads up? Or, like, do they actually write that on the website as a business?
In a variety of ways. I mean, honestly, like, people are on Craigslist a lot. So people will just go on Craigslist. I guarantee if you type in Yelp on a Craigslist search right now, someone's trying to, you know, pay people to write reviews, and it happens. So we have a team that's pretty active in like monitoring those situations.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, our whole mission is to connect people to great local businesses. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it doesn't do any consumer any favors to have somebody trying to game the system by paying their way, you know, to the top. It's not good for other businesses who are working really hard to earn their great reputation. So what we do in those cases, we'll slap a consumer alert on their page. And if people come across their page, then they'll have a chance to be like, hey, you know, we caught these people doing less than ideal tactics to try to earn this reputation. So you might want to think twice about going forward because, I mean, it's unfortunate that it happens. But, you know, it's again, it's competitive in this, you know, it's one of those things where some people would rather take a less than honest approach to, you know, earning a great reputation.
Good. Now, if I'm a consumer, I'm checking out a few local restaurants and I see some restaurants that have like maybe 5 to 10 reviews. How do I know? Because a lot of people always say this when they like see a small amount of reviews, they kind of say the same thing. They're like, these are like probably the owners or friends of the owners that like left a few reviews. Like, how do you recommend people to discern between the difference of what they assume and what actually might be authentic reviews?
Yeah. So we have a recommendation software that runs on the site all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's basically its whole purpose is to make sure that it kind of weeds out the reviews from people we can't trust as much.
Okay.
So I'd say for basically every business, about 75% of the reviews are recommended and about 25% aren't recommended. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different factors that go into play there. A lot of it's based on the user's activity on the site and certain things like that. So if it is somebody who is, you know, say, you know, you open up a competitor to sell Chris and Charlie's and you want to sell sandwiches for $10 as opposed to $11 and you get all of your friends to write reviews, that's great that you have a lot of friends that'll write you reviews, but if they just signed up that day and they're only going to write one review, then never interact with the site again, it's not really helpful. Yeah. It's like you have a lot of great friends, but that's not really a helpful consumer sort of experience. But yeah, so we'll end up most likely in, you know, and it's not a human being doing this. It's, you know, automated software that runs on the site 24/7. So it's not like a human that's clicking around, picking which reviews are trustworthy and which ones aren't. The recommendation software does that and kind of puts them in a different section of the site.
Okay.
So hopefully, you know, in the case that you just referenced with somebody opening up a restaurant in there or a business of any sort, and having all their friends and family write reviews, hopefully those will, you know, end up in a different section of the site.
Okay. And how do you encourage new users?
How do we?
Because you know, a lot of people like will go to a restaurant, they'll look at Yelp reviews, but how do you encourage people to actually submit their own and get active that way?
Yeah, I mean, so we do a lot of events. You know, the events that you were at previously with the, you know, the holiday hangover cruise. You know, we want to show people like it's fun. It's really cool to, you know, share these experiences. And you know, it's kind of cool to be like an altruistic sort of native of your city because more people need to realize like how powerful it is to get a really great review. And so say that I just met your girlfriend not too long ago and say you were, you know, taking her out for another birthday dinner or anniversary dinner or something like that. And you went and had the most fantastic experience at a local flower shop. Like, don't you think that's something that like the whole world should hear about? Like these people are fantastic. They run this like little tiny shop on, you know, Broadway and this and that, and like you need to buy your flowers from this place because they're great. I mean, that means the world to that small business, right?
Yeah.
So it's not going to be everybody's sort of, you know, user-generated content. I mean, you actually are probably a different story, but the average person has probably never uploaded a video to YouTube, but they watch it probably every single day. There's probably a day where a video comes across their desk, you know?
Absolutely.
So it takes a certain kind of person that wants to like share their opinions and like share their life story. But yeah, we just try to make sure it's a cool experience. It's a positive experience. People want to, it's best when we just leave it to be organic and sort of, you know, make sure that we're letting people know that we're around and we have, you know, a bunch of great active community members and you should join them and write reviews.
Yeah. Now who would be like your biggest competitor? Cause you mentioned Foursquare earlier and I was like, man, I remember a lot of people see Foursquare before like Yelp blew up. I remember like the, specific transition when people check in Foursquare and say I'm here, then people would just start doing the same thing on Yelp. And like I would just start seeing a lot of Yelp reviews and people using that app. So like who would be your main competitor now?
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't think any, if you ask anybody, if you ask Mark Zuckerberg who his competitor is, he's going to say everybody basically. Mm-hmm. It's because you're actually more in a competition for people's attention than it is for people like from specific other like sector or platforms or businesses. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. I mean, we try to do our best to be a great resource where you can come and browse, you know, for great businesses. Then you can also close the loop and make purchases right on, you know, through the website or the app, or you can, you know, book a quote with a, you know, somebody who's doing a professional service, or you can have a conversation. Yeah. So, I mean, we try to make sure that once you're at Yelp, it's going to be like, you know, a fully, you know, holistic experience, and you can sort of like connect the dots all within the app and the website. But, oh, it's a hard thing. I never really look at people as competition, to be honest with you.
Got it. Okay. Now, I know you're not going to say like the company's name or a restaurant's name, but I want to know if there's ever been an experience with like a Yelp event that you've hosted or, you know, produced that the venue for whatever reason or something happened where it just like it did not pan out well for like the business. And you're just like, oh no.
Well, you know, it's funny. So we actually, we separate the reviews of the event and the business on purpose just for that reason. Because, you know, say for instance, you know, we come in and we're doing an event and it's, you know, we do events at great places. So it's, you know, places earned a really great reputation already. And so that's sort of like the brick and mortar of getting this event off the ground. So if somebody has a great reputation, then just one day for some reason, they're having a really off day and it's just like a terrible event and people review it poorly. We obviously don't want them to suffer on their, you know, their well-earned reputation side of the, you know, of the website. So we separated out. So if we were going to do an elite event at, you know, Louis and Chan, for instance, so it'd be like, you know, Louis and Chan's actual business page, and then like elite event at Louis and Chan. And they both stay in search for a while, so people can, you know, check out the reviews of the event. And hopefully the way that they work is that people that are such a good time at the elite event, they'll come in and actually have their own customer experience later on down the road, and they'll review Louis and Chan on their own accord later on. But yeah, I mean, I've been pretty blessed to have some pretty good events. I've never had a disaster happen. I know in LA we had a pretty disastrous situation with a business that was closing down. And so it turned out like they had 4 days left or something, and they just ended up double booking almost like they were just like not even double booking, like multiple booking parties. And they made everyone seem like they had an exclusive party going on. And I think that we showed up and there was like a wedding party and some other party. And they're like, because they didn't care. They were closing in 4 days. So they could care less how many parties were going on at the same time. They just wanted to pack the place. And because we were expecting it to be a private event, we had hundreds of people in tow, but there's like nowhere to put them. So that was a pretty disastrous situation.
Yeah.
But again, they didn't really care because they were about to close.
Yeah. The events I've gone to, the holiday hangover thing. I'm surprised by how well those go. Just cause of all the free alcohol flowing. I remember one, I think the last time we did it, there's like specifically like just tequila, and like some vodka. And I was like, oh man, like people are getting jacked up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so Campari, who owns Sky, Campari, obviously, they're a big, you know, umbrella for the alcohol brands. So, yeah, we definitely had basically one of every spirit that you can have on board. And, yeah, I mean, it's we've been blessed that I do my best to make sure as much as possible that we have a good group of people that aren't going to get too crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully bartenders understand, like, okay, this person's drank too much. Let's, like, not serve them because that's the bartender's job. But, yeah, we've been blessed, I mean, with boats and a bunch of tequila and some dancing and tons of food. That could result in lots of barf, but we have been thankful that we have not seen too much barf in the course of 4 years.
Yeah, you guys
just a little barf.
You guys have had good vendors though, which is really awesome that they come out for that.
Absolutely, I mean we have people, and for them it's a really great platform too because they get a chance to go on this really really fun cruise and you know have small samples of what they're all about. They get to touch you know upwards of 1,000 different people on board. So yeah, and also it's a fun idea or opportunity to just get out of the kitchen and do something a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly. As like independent producers that like you know post their events or restaurant owners that post their events on Yelp independently from the elite group, what would you suggest is like the best way for them to like get Yelpers' attention? You know, like to get you know noticed because there's so many events that are posted on this website.
Of course.
You know, so like not just in New York but just in general, like what would be some best practices?
I would say, okay, so first and foremost, if you're a business and you're trying to promote your business, you should sign up for a business owner account. So there's a way to do that. So you just go on biz.yelp.com and then you claim your page. And that way you can interact with people as the business. So what we see a lot of times is people sign up as like, so it's always like, you know, it's your first name and then the first letter of your, so it's an initial, like the first letter of the last name.
Yeah.
So it'll be like, if it's Comedy Outliers, it's like Comedy O, you know? Yeah. And so the thing is like, because you're a business, you shouldn't sign up as a user. You know what I mean? That doesn't make,
okay.
So if you were like on
Facebook. Is there a fee to sign up as a business?
No, it's free. It's all totally free and you can claim your page and be able to interact with people back and forth. So, cause again, you never like interact with somebody on Facebook or something, for instance, and it's like, Nike's and it's like Nike shoes, right? Yeah. Nike has a business page.
Yeah.
So we do our best to make sure that we separate the two of those out. So you're, you know, when you're interacting with people, it like it's an appropriate sort of interaction.
Okay.
We do our best to, you know, protect the source being our users, and you know, nobody likes to be spammed or anything like that. So yep. If we see people who are,
yeah,
sort
I learned
of,
that.
Yeah,
learned
yeah. So yeah, way. I know we were talking about this a little bit, and I'm not like you were just promoting your show, so I don't think you ever thought twice about it.
I wasn't
even
promoting it. I was just like people that were interested. I thought, hey, like, I just want to send them a friendly reminder, let them know they can use this discount code at the door. And that just, I guess for certain people at Yelp, they were just like, no, you can't do that, bro.
Well, it's one of those things where, okay, so if, unless you are basically me on the site, right, there's no other reason why somebody would be messaging users the same exact thing over and over and over again.
Got it.
So as a regular user who is somebody on the site, and it's just branded on, I mean, when you post them, right?
Yeah.
So it's like if you were messaging 50 people with a copy and paste sort of thing.
It's going to get flagged.
Definitely going to get flagged. So our backend is going to see like, oh, this is weird. This guy who like doesn't ever really write people private messages is all of a sudden on the same day within 30 minutes writing 30 people the same exact copy and paste message. This guy's probably trying to spam the users. So that was the reason why you specifically got flagged,
that,
I would imagine.
That makes perfect sense. And that's also kind of like, that's cool that you guys are big enough where you actually have people that's their job. It's just to be like, who's doing some unusual shit on this website?
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is, again, we're trying to make sure that when you come to the site, you can trust what you're reading. And I think that because the fact that we've grown by leaps and bounds over the last 10 years and our traffic keeps going up, you know, people obviously trust the site, and so it's a real, real important aspect of the operation for us is to make sure that when you come to the site, you trust it, you can go in and have a pretty, you know, similar experience to those that you read about before. So when it comes to that, we want to make sure that people, like, feel comfortable on the site. There's guidelines, and, you know, one of the, you know, user guidelines is pretty much to not do that, but it's but it's totally fine. But that's why, you know, when you work with me, you know, I can you know, message the community and let them know about cool things you have going on, because we always do giveaways for your shows.
Yeah, we do.
That's a really effective way of getting, you know, Comedy Outliers out there, getting some Yelpers in attendance that can check it out, and I've heard nothing but really great things.
Yeah, it's been fun seeing them come, and they were, like, really enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially last month, man. We had a monster lineup, and the Yelpers that came through, they were loved it.
Yeah, I really wish I was at that one, because I went to two or three years ago when we first met. And you had a great lineup. I remember Pete Davidson was there, which, you know, before his SNL days.
He's been back a few times. I think I like gave you a heads up, like, hey, don't tell your Yelp. But let them know that they definitely want to come to
this. I was so bummed I was out of town for that one, because I would have definitely been in attendance. That guy's very funny.
Yeah. So what would be some key words or, like, special things that they should do on their event page to, like, stand out? Or, like, how do you suggest, without spamming people, like, saying, hey, this event's going to be really cool, trust me.
Yeah, so I would say, okay, I always tell people, like, it's not really like science, right? I mean, there's like things you can do, but if you just like take a step back and think of yourself as the user for a second, right? Mm-hmm. If you come across a page that reads like this press release that you just copied and pasted into an event, there's a bunch of like capital letters, a bunch of asterisks, and like, you know, misspellings. Like, I don't know, it's like kind of hard to read, you know? It looks bad.
Okay.
So I would say just post an event like you, if you enjoy reading like really clean copy, if you really like enjoy reading things that aren't a bunch of like capitalized letters the whole time, just make it look good and make it look like you actually wrote the thing. I mean, you can actually write in a conversational tone. I mean, it's not like you have to, from scratch, like, type everything out again, because it's going to take a lot of time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But just when you post an event, make it sound cool, have really cool pictures. Don't just have, like, some grainy flyer of whatever, you know, you have going on. I mean, if it's a flyer that looks cool, that's totally great.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, it's like, you know, the pixels are 150 and then gets blown up on the event page and it looks bad and blurry. Just putting just like some thought into it is the best bet. And, you know, we highlight a bunch of events in our weekly Yelp newsletter. So if it's a cool sounding event that we think our users would like, we'll put it in our newsletter, and that goes out to hundreds of thousands
of people.
In New York City.
Yeah, you guys have shouted out a few of my events, not just the Outliers, but like a few independent shows like in different boroughs and stuff, which has been really cool.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and we're all about sharing great, you know, we want people to know that they can use Yelp and find really great events. They can find a great place to eat. They can find a place to get their AC fixed, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and it's cool, like, for event producers, like, when you feel like you have something special, seeing other people posting your event, like, as their own event. and like saying, hey guys, come out. Like, I've seen that with Outliers a few times on Yelp, and I'm like, this is awesome that people are just like posting it for us.
Yeah,
like,
there's definitely been times because, you know, it's such a user generated platform that you can, you know, you can say like, oh man, I know that like the Bacon and Beer Classic is happening, which I'm actually going to tonight
at
City Field. It's pretty cool. It's like
Bacon and Beer?
It's literally a festival
at City Field.
At City Field, paying
homage
to Bacon.
Why do I not know about this? What am I not doing right, Reggie? Why am I not hearing about this cool shit?
I mean, you're hearing it now. So
I can't go tonight. I got to go to a Sweet 16. Whoa, what?
You're going to a Sweet 16?
Yeah, it's for my girlfriend's cousin.
I was going to say, it sounds a little creepy, man.
It would be creepy if it's just me.
Do I need to hit up that guy from America's Most Wanted or that guy from To Catch a Predator? Let him know you're on
Chris
the way.
Chris Hansen, no.
Chris Hansen,
he's
yeah.
He's all right.
No hug for me. Best line ever.
Do you ever watch Arrested Development?
You know, I should. It's one of those shows that I should because it's the best show and all my friends like it. But I've only seen like I haven't seen like the entire
on the Netflix new season. They had a really funny parody of To Catch a Predator, but I don't want to spoil it because you haven't watched it.
So I mean, I'll have to check it. I know that when they came back on Netflix, all my friends like basically canceled work for 2 days straight so they can just like binge watch. But
yeah. Damn it. So how did you... well, obviously you work at Yelp and you just find out about these events, but how do I find out about these cool events, man? Even if I'm not a Yelp elite, like how do I go on the website?
Literally right now, if you go to Yelp, the front page, you can check. I can even show you on my phone right now. You can see a bunch of cool events that are happening this moment. Just like there's an event tab on. That's how, you know, that's where your events are obviously posted. But yeah, I'm on my app right now. Let's see. There's like literally it says events, that one right in the center, it says events, and you can just click on there and find all sorts of stuff that's going on. And they try to geo target like where you're sort of near. So it'll be just events that are going on in New York City.
Mamofuku Milk Bar. All right. So this is a good question for you. Have you ever gone to like a really highly regarded restaurant that's gotten like maybe Michelin stars or it's a guy rated, like highly recommended? You go there yourself as a Yelp elite director and you're like, what the fuck was the hype? And you want to like, do you write a review, do you not write a review because you don't want people to be like, oh, Ruck is just out of his damn mind? Or
the thing is, so I do my best to if I have like just I'm never going on a rant and drop like a 1 or 2 star review on a place. I probably, that's just my practices personally. Some people like, you know, that just, this is kind of how I roll. But
got it.
Yeah, I mean, I just actually went to a place not too long ago that has received some of like the biggest hype I've ever seen for a new restaurant in New York City, to the point where like foreign dignitaries and like leaders of the world were there eating and all like spoke their praises. And so I went and I just didn't quite understand it. It was fine. I mean, it was a perfectly fine meal. I didn't think it deserved the accolades that it got. And that's not to say that, you know, that's not to say it wasn't a good operation. It's just like when you hear so much, I think sometimes like a lot of buzzes can, you know, you have these expectations, right, of going into a place. And it's, how many times have you, your friends all told you to watch a movie and then you watch it and it just like kind of misses the expectations. But maybe had you just gone in there on your own volition and you didn't know anything about it, like you might have really liked it. But it's the fact that like everybody's talking about how it's like a game changing sort of operation. So yeah, I certainly went to a place and I gave it a 3 star, which is exactly, so if you think about the spectrum, if you're a Yelp user, one being like, eek, me thinks not, and then 5 being as good as it gets, like a 3 star review is a positive review. It's like, this is a good place. It's good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, in my opinion.
It wasn't mind blowing. It wasn't the 5 that everyone was getting. No. In your opinion. Yeah.
In my opinion, yeah. And obviously, you know, tastes are a little bit different, people, but I had a good experience. The wait staff was amazing. The drinks were good. I just was like, it just, to me, wasn't, it just didn't hit that mark for me, personally.
Yeah. What was the last 5-star rating you gave?
Honestly, it was for a taco shop in Tijuana I just went to.
Tijuana?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It was fantastic. It was called Los Perones, and they make this, just this insane taco.
Yeah.
With, like, melted cheese and pico de gallo, and, I mean, it just, like, the meat was fantastic. It was this, like, amazing griddled tortilla that was... And it was like $1 or something, you know.
Okay.
Very few pesos.
I meant New York because I'm not going to Tijuana.
I mean, that was the very last one that I wrote. Hey, Tijuana, it's cleaned up now, so you can go there and not get shot.
Well, whenever we go to Mexico, it would be like on cruises, so we'd be like in like the regulated safe zones.
Yeah, where all the gringos hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. What was the last 5-star I gave? I could actually like look. I don't know. I write so many reviews, I like lose track sometimes, to be honest. Let me filter through. I've got my nifty phone in my hand currently.
I see you got your iPhone fixed.
I did.
We were supposed to record. For those listeners, we've been trying to schedule this for like 2.5 weeks. And one of the days we both had Apple issues. Like, I had to take this back to the store twice. This iMac.
That seems like a giant operation, too.
It was annoying. It was really bad.
Yeah, so my suggestion would be that if you break your phone, if you drop it and crack your phone, and you're kind of like flirting with a third-party insurance company, and you're not going directly through AppleCare,
yep.
Definitely just take it to the Apple Store. Because the reason that my phone was having such bad issues was that I cracked my screen. I just went to like a local Lower East Side guy with like a tiny storefront, and he fixed my phone.
Yep.
Went on with my day. But it turns out that something that he did with putting my phone back together affected the operating system.
Mm.
And so when I took it to Apple, they're like, oh, well, here's what happened. You let some joker who has no idea what the hell he's doing touch your phone, and now like our hands are clean.
Yeah.
We can't help you. So yep. I had to go buy a brand new phone, basically.
Oh,
so that was the story. Because it just stopped working. Like, the night before, I was watching TV on my phone, went to sleep, turned the phone off, and then it just wouldn't turn back on.
They did that with me, too. But fortunately, they were able to fix it. It was like the OS went wonky when I tried to download the new one. It pretty much wiped my computer. I saved what I could up from my hard drive on an external hard drive. And then they were like, we can't do anything with your external hard drive because if we install that on our end, we're liable for whatever might happen. So you have to take it home and then do it yourself. I did it, and then I had the same OS issue, even though they had reinstalled it on my computer. It was working fine. And so they just wiped it again. It was a nightmare.
That's the worst.
But I figured out an easy way to pull all my stuff, so I was able to save all my files. But it was nerve-wracking 5 days.
Yeah, I do. I save a lot of things to Dropbox, and I also have an external hard drive just in case. Yeah, so... but yeah, so anyway, I looked up my last 5-star review of a place in New York, and it was for Raoul's Restaurant in Soho on Prince Street.
Okay.
They make arguably my favorite hamburger ever. It's a different kind of burger. Yeah, it's sort of like a steakhouse burger of sorts. I forget the actual blend, but it's done on this like Amy's bread roll. They only make 12 of them a day.
Okay.
So the thing is, like, they open at 5, they start serving food at 5:30, and if you are like number 13 through the door, you're not getting a hamburger because it's only 12 per day.
What?
It's only 12. You sit at the bar, you like have a martini, you hang out. It's like it's kind of like on the, depending on what your threshold for like an expensive burger is. I think it's like a $19 hamburger,
which is fine.
I mean, there are a lot of burgers that cost more than that are a lot less tasty, in my opinion. But this thing is just fantastic. It's a French place. It's got like a little bit of a French twist to it. It's got this peppercorn sauce on it that you can dip into. It's got like cornichon and these like different vegetables on it. It just tastes absolutely incredible. It's like a really cool, unique take on a hamburger that's like a French style hamburger.
Okay.
And that burger alone is worth your trip. But you have to get there like at 5 o'clock instead of the bar.
On the dot. You can't get there earlier just to make sure you get
there. I mean, the thing is, they'll open the doors at 5, so you can get there as early as you want to. If you want to like camp out whatever time, if it's 12 noon and you're listening to this right now and you're anywhere near Soho, you're more than welcome to go sit outside if you'd like.
Yeah.
I think you'd be kind of crazy if you did that. But yeah, they open the doors at 5, and as long as you're one of the first few people through the door, fantastic. You're good.
Awesome.
But, again, if you're number 13 or 14 through that door, you're not getting a hamburger, like, guaranteed.
I'm going to try it, guys, and I'm going to let you know how it is.
Yeah, and it's Raoul's, Raoul's.
All right. Yep. Prince Street.
Yep.
Awesome, man. Yep. Do you run the Yelp NYC Twitter account and stuff like that?
I do. I probably should tweet better things on it, but we have an Instagram. It's just Yelp NYC, basically on all the different platforms, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome.
We try to post pretty nice, food images on our Instagram page.
Yeah. So sometimes you shout out events.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, on Twitter we definitely shout out events and Facebook as well.
Okay.
So we do our best to use the use the sites as they were intended and not try to like just blast the same thing on each one of our channels.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks so much for coming through, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. And thanks for having me. Love, you have a lovely apartment here, and let's hope you never get kicked out of it.
I really hope. Are there any upcoming Yelp events that you want to promote or anything like that? Or?
Well, I mean, you should just head to yelp.com/events and then, make sure you're in the New York area and you'll be able to see all the events we have. So, we always have events that we're doing, so keep kind of attuned to that and you'll... And then also, if you subscribe to our weekly Yelp newsletter, we always highlight 3 awesome events each week. So, just make sure you have those bookmarked because we probably have great events coming on through the summer, but I don't have one top of mind right now.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it. Absolutely. And she don't care about my money, and that's real good, 'cause I don't got a lot to spend. But if
I did, it wouldn't mean nothing. She likes me for me, not because I look like Tyson Beckford with the charm of Robert Redford oozing out my ears. But what she sees are my faults and indecisions, my insecure conditions, and the tears upon the pillow that I shed. She don't care about my big screen, my collection of DVDs. Like that just never mattered much to her. Plus, she don't watch too much TV. And she don't care that I can fly her.